Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:08 p.m. and this is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 22nd. And today, U.S. Treasuries were a little bit stronger and coming right down to test this 2.8% level, which has been an area of resistance now for on a number of occasions since March. And even then, any move below this level has resulted in a sharp rebound for the yield. Well, the minutes of the Fed's last meeting were released today, and they seem to be pretty sanguine about raising interest rates because the U.S. economy is still firing on all cylinders. And I don't think anyone's under the illusion that that's for any other reason than this massive fiscal stimulus that remains a really quite significant factor. If we think about the fact that the full impact of the tax cuts will not be felt until people start to pay their 2018 taxes in the first quarter, well, it's in April of 2019, then that's perhaps where we may get a bit of a wobble, when people start to figure out exactly how much tax they do have to pay and what the ramifications of give and take with regard to what state people live in and economic growth, all of that will probably be start to be factored into prices from January. But between now and then, the big question is how much more are corporate profits going to rise? And when we look at the total amount of corporate profits that we have, and I need to pull up that ticker. So when we look at the corporate profits chart over a very long period of time, we can see that there have been important peaks in, and they generally happen well in advance of the peak in the stock market and also the peak in economic activity. So for example, corporate profits peaked in the late 1990s, in 1997. That was a very significant lead indicator. And then when we look at 2006, well, the market didn't really run into big trouble until 2008. Then there was an important peak in 2014. Well, we're in 2018 now. This index is going to be, at least according to Bloomberg, and generally speaking, I've come to not rely on these next update figures because sometimes they just don't come out with a new figure on the date that it says it's going to. But there is the strong possibility that this corporate profits figure is going to break higher, and I think that that is something that is quite different to what we've seen previously, because on previous occasions, when we've had a big run-up in corporate profits, then we've had a big fall subsequently. But that has just simply not happened on this occasion. Well, this is obviously a reflection of the impact of quantitative easing and then massive fiscal stimulus at an already mature phase in the economic cycle. So that has the potential to boost corporate profits over and above what might normally have been the case. And I think that when we think about it in those terms, that is one of the leading reasons behind the Fed's determination to continue to raise interest rates, but also the continued relative strength of the stock market. Now, the S&P 500 is right in the region of its all-time high. It hit a new high yesterday, but did not close at a new high. And today it was pretty much unchanged. And you can see from the weekly chart that it is pretty much hovering in the region of that prior peak. Well, it is somewhat overextended relative to the trend mean, and there has been a persistent progression of higher reaction lows, particularly over the last 4 months. So really a sustained move below 2800 would be required to, I think, to suggest that we're in a process of mean reversion. So far, this has been a relatively orderly consolidation in the region of the previous peak, and there is no real sign yet that this market isn't going to continue to move higher. What I think some people, particularly those that follow Dow theory, will be keeping an eye on is the fact that the transportation index pushed on to a new high yesterday. It was in mildly positive ter sorry negative territory in here today, but not in a dynamic manner. And there is a short-term overbought condition, so we may see some consolidation, but there hasn't been anything in the way of real downward dynamics in a while. And we may get some consolidation in the region in the previous peak. I don't think that that is going to be surprising to anyone, but it does suggest that there's a lot of economic activity going on if the transportation index is doing well. Well, the industrials index had been doing particularly well in 2017, and it was due some consolidation, and it has certainly had some. Well, perhaps the most important thing that it's done recently is bounce from that psychological 25,000 level. It rallied pretty impressively on five consecutive sessions, and now it does look like it is due a pause. But as long as it is holding that upward bias to trading, and most particularly bouncing from the region of the trend mean on those somewhat larger pullbacks, I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. One of the shares that has been doing a reasonably good job of repairing some of the inconsistencies that it had suffered as a result of the pullback that we had in February is Google, or Alphabet, and it has now come back to test to the $1,200 level. That is the upper side of the underlying trading range. That underlying trading range is larger than any that we've seen since at least 2010. And it really does need to continue to hold this move. What we can see, if we accept the big reaction that we had in February, we have had moves in of a magnitude of approximately $100 per step in Google, and that's exactly what we've had recently. It got up to $1,300 and pulled back to $1,200. If it is back in a consistent trending environment, then it should continue to hold that $1,200 level, and that this range could last for anything up to a few months or maybe even 6 months before we see the next $100 increment on the upside. That's assuming that the consistency of the trend over almost the last decade is being reasserted. But when we look around the rest of the world, a lot of what is happening in terms of stock market performance is very much tied to the outlook for the dollar. So if we look at the euro versus the dollar was in mildly negative territory again in here today. It is now coming up to this 116 level, and 116 is the region of the lower side of that overhead trading range. This is about where, if the euro is going to continue to trend lower, then this is where supply dominance should start to be realized once more. We can also see that it has now unwound about half of its overextension relative to the trend mean, and that the trend mean coincides with the progression of lower rally highs. So the next 2 cent range is, I think, a key level for the euro. Well, European stock markets were generally speaking in positive territory in here today, but the reality is when you look at something like the Eurostoxx index, which is the broad index for the Eurozone, it's been ranging for more than a year already, and that was following a pretty impressive advance in nominal terms from the lows that we saw in 2016. So then the question is whether it's going to be able to sustain that move above 400. And 400 on the Eurostoxx represents about where the progression of lower rally highs has been. There, it has been pausing around this 400 level. This is a higher high when it got all the way up to that 400 area earlier this year, but it did fail up there. And now the question is it going to be able to be confined to a range, or are we going to enter a period of greater volatility? Well, if the euro continues to decline, that will offer at least a partial tailwind to nominal prices. The bigger question for the Europe stocks index is whether it can sustain a move above 400 as well. But in this case, 400, which is the upper side of an evolving 18-year range. And if it can sustain the move above 400, well, then we can, I think, begin to conclude that a lot of the challenges that have faced Europe will start to be looking like they're in the rearview mirror. But so far, that's just not a conclusion that we can draw. And the Italian index, which had broken downwards, was again in negative territory today. If we zoom in and look at that on a daily chart, well, we can see that it did bounce rather impressively yesterday, but was not able to follow through on the upside in here today. There are a lot of unanswered questions about the integrity of governance within Italy right now. And when we think about one of the things that's most important to international investors, which is respect for minority shareholder interests, well, the Italian government is talking about roping in private sector banks to help it take over the Autostrada network. The investors in Atlantia, regardless of whether they're majority or minority investors, are going to be disenfranchised as a result of that. And that's not good for the overall governance of the market because it holds out the question of which company is going to lose its mandate to do anything next. So these are big questions for Italy. Well, when we look at the fact that the yield on the 10-year in the US is back at an important low. Well, yields in Germany were a little bit stronger in here today, and the 30 basis point level has so far held. That's been an area of resistance for the price and support for the yield over much of this year. And but nevertheless, there is a clear downward bias in these yields. And really, a sustained move above 50 basis points would be required to really question the overall bias of compression of yields for Germany. When we look at the DAX index, I think it is in many respects being weighed down by the automotive sector. And when, for example, we look at Daimler, where the index, or excuse me, the share is back in the region of its lows and still struggling to really demonstrate that support has been found. BMW has also been the subject of some selling pressure and encountered resistance over the last couple of weeks in the region of its trend mean. When we look at Volkswagen, then it is probably one of the better performers since that massive decline in 2015, but it is now sustaining this move below the trend mean as well. Well, one of the particular reasons why the automotive sector has been under such pressure recently is simply because regulators are now enforcing emissions measures, or regulators are enforcing the rules that were already in place, and that represents a rather acute challenge for conventional automotive producers for the simple reason that so many of them were cheating, and most particularly in Germany and Japan. So that raises the costs of compliance. That's one thing. But then the loss of faith that investors have, or and most particularly consumers have, means that they are trying now to pioneer the electric car market, and that represents really quite a considerable expense. So we see that despite the fact that, for example, Ford has got, on the face of it, very attractive fundamentals with an estimated PE of 7 and a yield of over 6%, and there is the potential, at least the market is suggesting, that Ford may not be able to hold that dividend. That's at least what the downtrend in the price is telling us. But the reality is that these automotive companies have got an awful lot of money that they have to spend. That is perhaps one of the only real redeeming qualities that Tesla has, that it does not have that legacy of architecture that it needs to replace. It's had to build everything new, but it has done so, and that spending, or at least a good part of that, has already been completed. But that doesn't mean that it's making a profit, or that it's or that it isn't still losing money on every car that it sells. So the automotive sector is certainly in a rather challenging environment right now. Well, at the same time, the lithium producers are ramping up production, and lithium-ion battery producers are ramping up their capacity for production. But when we look at the performance of some of the largest lithium miners, well, they've pulled back rather alarmingly over the course of the first part of this year. And Albemarle, for example, has been largely range-bound for most of this year so far, but there's still a progression of lower rally highs. It is still encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. And one of the problems that these miners have is that they've invested in additional supply. That supply is coming to market, but it might take another couple of years before the big boom in demand from all the factories currently under construction really starts to lift lithium prices once more. Well, when we think about commodities, gold prices were pretty much unchanged in here today. They're still pausing mostly below this $1,200 area. There has been a distinct lack of clear upper dynamics to really confirm that this is a low of anything other than short-term significance. It really is for the bulls to prove in here, and this continues to represent a reasonably consistent downtrend. And silver prices were also in mildly negative territory today, and silver has rallied less than gold. And for a market that is quite a bit smaller than gold, generally speaking, the prices of things like silver and platinum do tend to lead because it requires less weight of money to move the price. But platinum prices are still below the $800 level, and they have not unwound the big downward dynamic that we saw last week. In fact, they haven't pushed back above 800, which was the previous area of support yet either. So we are at a rather interesting level for all of the precious metals right now. Oil prices were a bit firmer in here today, and they're demonstrating now that support has been found around that $70 level for Brent crude. That is now pushing all the way back up and testing that very short-term progression of lower rally highs. But I think when we look at it on the weekly chart, we can see clearly that the region of the trend mean has offered support, and this is still a reasonably consistent environment. U.S. stockpiles have pulled back more than traders were anticipating, and Saudi Arabia has cancelled, or at least is purported to have cancelled, its sale of Saudi Aramco. So I think those are two potentially important news stories that are animating the oil price right now. Well, when we look at what's going on in China, then the A-share index has had a distinct absence of clear upper dynamics. It's really struggling to find support around this 2800 point level. Perhaps the brightest point in the market right now is the fact that the banking sector has at least stopped going down, but it has a wide overextension relative to the trend mean before, and then even when it unwinds that, the big question will be whether it can sustain a move above that 14,000 level. I think that China continues to have a substantial number of challenges. They have cut the interbank offered rate pretty impressively over the course of the last month. But when China says that it's not going to use its currency as a tool in the trade war, the chart tells us otherwise. And the potential for the renminbi to continue to weaken is something that I think cannot be ruled out. What's also potentially interesting is that in many respects, Bitcoin is a Chinese cryptocurrency. And it had a pretty impressive move in here today. Having been up over $100, it closed down on the day $115. It's barely steady around the 6,000 level. If we see it breaking below 6,000, that will represent an extension of the downtrend. And when we look at it on just a simple nominal basis, there is a lot of empty space under that $6,000 level. When we look at it on a logarithmic scale chart, well, then that really does help to ram home the point that the rally up from $200 back in 2015 was incredibly spectacular, and that prices are still very elevated relative to those prices. So the ability of Bitcoin to hold this 6,000 level is rather important. I think it is also potentially that people who have been storing their money in here are starting to take it out. And the fact that China is clamping down on traders, and that they'll be trying to close loopholes to avoid capital flight, is also potentially weighing on the cryptocurrency market right now. And that's on top of all the arguments about the regulation and theft that has been going on within the sector, the absence of regulation and theft that's been going on within the sector. So when we then think about what's going on in terms of emerging markets, the reality is that Asia has seen a significant drawdown in terms of its currencies. Obviously, the Asia dollar index is very heavily weighted by the Chinese renminbi, so it really does behoove us to look at individual currencies. The Thai baht has rallied back to close its overextension relative to the trend mean. Now, the big question is whether it's going to be able to sustain a move back above it. The Vietnamese dong, which had broken out, or excuse me, well, broken down over the course of the last few months, has not been declining with the same alacrity that we've seen, for example, with regard to the renminbi or the Turkish lira or the Argentine peso or the Venezuelan bolivar, but it is still weak. And that is, I think, one of the arbiters that people will be looking at in the Vietnamese stock market's ability to push successfully back up above the trend mean. And that is, I think, one of the more important points. It does look like Asia has got the greatest potential to outperform, and where bargain hunting is perhaps going to be most effective. The Indian market has continued to push on, and it has been posting new highs on a daily basis. And the Indian rupee, even though it had broken down to new all-time lows, has been reasonably steady over the last few days. What that really does suggest is that it is India is going to be one of the greatest beneficiaries of this bout of volatility that we've seen, particularly in emerging markets. Well, the Brazilian real, having broken down yesterday, was in additional negative territory in here today. That is starting to have an impact on the nominal price of the stock market, and it was up over 2% today, and it posted an upside key reversal. So when we look at that on the weekly basis, well, we can see that we're now in the region of the trend mean. There is the potential that the Brazilian market can rally on a nominal basis. And let me see if I can remember the ETF. So when we look at that ETF, we can see that it has really been the victim of the weakness of the currency, that it encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. But even here, the bounce that we've seen in the stock market has outweighed the decline that we've seen in the currency over the last day. And it's right in the region of that low from around the $30 area. But it absolutely would need to sustain a move above the trend mean. So when we think about the opportunities that arise from the kinds of declines that we've seen in emerging market currencies, this is not a time to really think about just going out and buying everything. But there, I think, some judicious purchasing and really looking at both the potential for less currency market volatility and more capital market appreciation are probably going to be where the buying opportunities lie. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.